ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
There's no time in the eternal state. And yet, John talks about each tree yielding its fruit every month. Isn't that strange? Okay, wait, there's no time in the eternal state. Why is he doing that? Well, how do you express time when there is no time? No, I think that's the idea. John says each month there's going to be a different fruit. How that all plays out, I don't know. But there's no time. I don't think there's any watches in the eternal state, which, again, I told you last time, really kind of freaks me out, because how will I know how many steps I took today without my Garmin watch? I'd be lost. If anyone has a good idea about this, better than what I gave about this month thing, let me hear it. But it's a tough one. I truly think that's the only way John can express it, because there is no time in the eternal state. Look at verse 3. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads, and there shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. You know, think about it. Ever since the fall of man, the effects of sin have permeated everything in this world. Even creation itself has been affected by it and waits to be redeemed. Paul talked about that in Romans. And yes, even in the millennial reign, we see the effects of sin, but on a much smaller level, and the Lord will deal with it immediately. And I realize people don't think much about, in the kingdom age, sin or death, as much as it's going to be very rare. I think it'll be there. Isaiah 65:20. No more shall an infant from there live but a few days, nor an old man who has not fulfilled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. This is how the Amplified puts this verse. There shall no more be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who dies prematurely. For the child shall die 100 years old, and the sinner who dies when only 100 years old shall be thought only a child, cut off because he is accursed. So there is some of that going on in the kingdom age, very, very minor. It's nothing like we have today, because the Lord's going to deal with it instantly. But now in the eternal state, we're told what? The curse is gone. No more friction, no more fighting, no more sin. And what are we doing there? We're serving the Lord. And that word serve speaks of worship. You know, when we think of serving, we think of work. But when we're worshiping God, that's not work. That should be a joy. You know, Paul said in Romans 12:1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. I think the NASB puts it correctly, which is your spiritual service of worship. I think that's the idea. You know, when the Levites were serving in the temple, what was their service about? Worship. They're there worshiping God through the various things that they were doing. And again, it shouldn't be thought of as work, because when we serve the Lord at whatever we do, it should be filled with joy and amazing that God allows us to do the things that we get to do. Now, we're going to see the Lord face to face. Can we do that now? No, not in these earthly bodies. I mean, even in Revelation chapter 5, I believe it is, where John sees the throne of God, Revelation 4, excuse me, John sees the throne of God. All he sees is these lights emanating from it, because he can't see God face to face, because he is so holy, so pure, that in these bodies we can't deal with that. That's what Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians 13:12. For now we see in a mirror, dimly, but then face to face. Now in part, but then I shall know, just as I also am known. In 1 John 3:2, John says, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Absolutely. Now, we have on our foreheads the name of God. What does that mean? It means our identification. We're identifying with him. You know, remember in grade school when you used to put your girlfriend or boyfriend's name on your arm or wrist or notebooks? What were you doing? You were identifying yourself with that person. Oh, I love them, right? In grade school, our love was so crazy. Well, this is the love that we have for God. We're identifying with him. And we can't see it, can we? No, it's on our foreheads. We can't see it. Why is it there? Because when everyone else sees it, they'll see your identification with the Lord. Well, that's going to be the case for every single person in the New Jerusalem, right? In this eternal state, every single person will have the name of the Lord on their foreheads. How does it apply to us today? Well, we don't literally have the name of the Lord written on our foreheads, but how are you living out your faith? Because that's what people are looking at. We're living epistles, Paul talked about in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. You know, it's not just what we read in the scriptures. It's now, how are we living out our faith? What are people seeing? How important that is in this day, especially when there's so much chaos going on in the world, and yet we have the joy of the Lord. And people go, "What is up with you?" Well, I'll tell you, I know the end of the story. I know how this is going to play out. I know who wins. God does. I don't have any fear. I know where I'm going. I think that's important, that people see Jesus in us. You know, John the Baptist said, "I must decrease so he may increase in my life." And that's the problem. If we increase, if it's all about us, they don't see Jesus, they see us. So that flesh needs to be crucified and allow Jesus to be seen as we go out into this world. And think about this. In Genesis, it was paradise lost, right? Here we are now, the end of the story, it's paradise regained. I don't think we have any clue to what this eternal state is going to be like. It's going to be the most magnificent thing. You know, I don't know if we'll ever sleep or get tired or anything like that, but I know one thing, my back won't hurt, my legs won't hurt, I won't have diabetes. It's going to be awesome. And that's the eternal state. Now, that's the description. Like, John, come on, give us more. That's it. And maybe, like I think I said it last time, it's hard to describe something that is so amazing with human words. And so we're just given a glimpse of what this New Jerusalem is all about. Look at verse 6. "Then he said to me, 'These words are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly take place. Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book.'" Now, think about all the people today that are making predictions about things and declaring that they're going to come to pass, even Christians, and they don't. You know, there was a guy, and I forgot his name, a few years back, who was predicting the world was coming to an end. And I think it was for, I can't remember the date, if it was 2020, but Harold Camping, I believe was his name. And people had sold all their stuff and were buying billboards to put up, "This is the date the world's going to come." They had the actual day down, but it passed. We don't know the days, guys. We know the seasons. And we have to be careful, because as we make predictions about what's going to happen and it doesn't, it's like the boy who cried wolf. People just get used to it. "Oh, that's, you know, Pastor Joe, there he goes again. And one of his end of the world stories." No, I want to speak about what I know. And I don't want to make any dates, because I'm not a date setter. Sorry. Here's the thing. What God has promised, he's faithful. And it's going to come to pass. I have no reason to doubt that, do you? I mean, think about it. I know there's a lot of Christians that are fearful and worried and all that stuff. But what has God promised? Eternal life with him. Can this life get tough? It absolutely can. It can be very difficult. Think about the millions of Christians that have been martyred for their faith, the millions upon millions that have been martyred for their faith over the years. But they're with the Lord. They didn't lose anything. And we've seen how God was faithful in the past. The over 300 prophecies related to Christ's first coming, all fulfilled down to the tiniest detail. And he speaks about his second coming over 500 times in the Bible. So I am assured that what God has said, he is more than able to bring to pass. He's faithful. Now, it also says that these things must shortly take place. Wait a minute. It's been almost 2,000 years. That's shortly? Some people say, well, you know, a day is 1,000 years and 1,000 years is a day. I think that's a cop-out. I don't think that's correct. What this is speaking of, shortly take place, is that it's going to happen rapidly or suddenly. When this begins to happen, these things are going to happen very quickly. It's a 7-year period of time, the tribulation period. So it's not something that's going to be lasting for hundreds and hundreds of years. It's very quick. And in Revelation 22:7, Jesus said, I'm coming quickly. Again, 2,000 years? Yeah, when he comes. In fact, the Greek word is tachyai, and it speaks of suddenly once again. Well, isn't that what we see? Matthew 24, you know, he appears as lightning flashes from the east to the west across the sky. He's there. It's not like, well, Jesus is on flight 727 and he'll be arriving in 3 hours. No, he's going to, boom, be there, and everyone, I will see him. In fact, James 5:9 tells us that the judge is standing at the door. Why? Because he's getting ready to come for his bride, the church. And I know there's a lot of people out there that are coming against the rapture of the church and the imminent return of Christ. And the early church believed it. The early church believed that Jesus Christ was going to come in their day. How do I know that? Because Paul talked about it. Titus 2, verses 13 through 15. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people. Zealous for good works, speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. Isn't that interesting? Speak these things. Exhort. Don't let anyone despise you. Don't let anyone tell you, oh, don't, you shouldn't be talking about that. Of course we should. We're to speak forth the truth. In fact, Paul said in 2 Thessalonians, speaking about the rapture, that the dead in Christ will rise first, and we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them. Did you see what he said? When we who are alive and remain, he believed that the rapture would happen in his day. And now how many Christians have put that aside and they don't even believe in the rapture and they have all kinds of crazy ideas about the rapture? To me, it's pretty simple. The bridegroom's coming for his bride and he's not going to put us through the tribulation period to get beat up before he marries us. Well, what about the tribulation in this world? Oh, yeah, but that's not from the Lord. That's from this world. The tribulation period, the judgment comes from God. Why would he beat up his bride and then say, okay, let's get married? Makes no sense. We have to think these things through. Also in chapter 22 of Revelation, verse 7, it talks about the words of this, about keeping the words of the prophecy of this book. What does that mean? It means guard or watch over. Don't negate them. Again, I hear so many people saying, oh, you know, the rapture, it's made up. It's something that was invented recently by Darby. Well, that's not true. And if you've been through our 1 Thessalonians studies, excuse me, you'll see very clearly that the early church wrote about the rapture of the church. They believed in the rapture of the church. We have documents that prove it long before Darby was around 100 or so years ago and spoke about it. So guard these things. Watch over them. Don't negate them. It's our blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior. What does the world want to do and what does some Christians want to do? Take that hope away. Tragic. Tragic. Very tragic. And here's the thing. We need to earnestly contend for the faith that's been entrusted to us. I think that's going to get harder for us as Christians to do. I think more, I think, you know, our nation is going to come against what we believe. If you look at how our nation flaunts sin and legalizes sin, condones sin, and then here we come and say, God said, no, that's a sin, that's wrong. They're going to come against us. Are we prepared to take a stand and earnestly contend for the faith that's been entrusted to us? It's going to be a battle, and we have to stand strong. Well, look at verse 8 here in Revelation 22. Now I, John, saw and heard these things, and when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. Then he said to me, see that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant and of your brethren the prophets, and of those who keep the words of this book, worship God. Now, remember, John had a similar experience back in Revelation 19:10. It says, and I fell at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, see that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So how could he forget it? How did he mess up so quickly? Imagine, put yourself in his shoes or sandals or whatever. He's seeing all this. This angel is speaking all these things, showing him this new heavens, this new earth, this new Jerusalem. He's overwhelmed. He's just blown away. And he just falls down to worship this angel. And the angel quickly corrects him. Says, look, I'm just a servant of God. I'm not God. Don't worship the instrument. Worship the master. Worship God. Worship Jesus. And think about it. God's eternal. Everything else is a created being. And no created being should ever be worshipped, never. In fact, in Hebrews 1:6, we're told, but when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all the angels of God worship him. God the Father there in Hebrews is speaking to God the Son, that all the angels should worship him. Aren't we only to worship God? Absolutely. So what is that saying? Oh, that Jesus is Almighty God. Because there is no way you worship anyone but God. In John 9, verse 38, we see the man who was born blind that said, Lord, I believe, and he worshiped him. Would Jesus allow this man to worship him if he wasn't God? Absolutely not. Because all that Jesus did, he wanted to honor the Father. He committed no sin. We're to worship no one else but God. And listen to verse 10 here. Listen to what we're told, Revelation 22:10. And he said to me, do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Don't seal it. Now, the book of Daniel was sealed for a time. Daniel 8:26. And the vision of the evenings and mornings which was told is true. Therefore, seal up the vision, for it refers to many days in the future. And again, in Revelation chapter 12, then I said, my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. When was the book of Daniel to be sealed till? Until the end or the last days, which I believe we're living in. I think we're living in the last days. Why? Because Paul wrote in Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. The last days began with Jesus. And so this is for all of us. The book of Daniel, the book of Revelation is for us. Why don't they want to teach the book of Revelation? There's a built-in blessing. We read about it in Revelation 1:3. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. You're keeping a blessing away from the people that God has entrusted to you if you negate this book. And, you know, it's amazing, the people who don't read the book of Revelation today, the number of churches that don't teach it because it's too difficult to understand or it's a sealed book, which it's not. Way back July 7th, 2000, some 22 years ago, hard to believe, the Herald Times reporter had a story on the Left Behind series, and this is what a local pastor had to say in the article regarding the book of Revelation. Listen carefully. that many Protestant churches rarely have a reading from Revelation as part of worship service. You don't always have the time to help people understand the often complex passages with fanciful images that the 21st century churchgoers may have a great difficulty deciphering. You don't have the time to help people to understand. Isn't that your whole job? Your whole job is to teach them the Word of God so that they can understand who God is and what God desires of their lives. How ridiculous. Let me share this with you. We're told, many who were once looking for the return of Jesus have fallen asleep. We now live in a period of time where numerous prominent Christian leaders are telling the Christian masses that paying attention to the signs of our times in light of the Bible is a waste of time. And many of them take it a step further and accuse those who believe what Bible prophecy says about the end of the age of being negative and self-centered. I'm not sure I'm being self-centered because I'm looking for the return of Jesus. I don't think so. In the purpose-driven life, Rick Warren was actually laying groundwork for the emerging church's new reformation, a reformation that rejects thinking about the return of Christ and works more on convincing the multitudes that Christ is already in them as a global Christ consciousness. That's New Age talk. As you will see in the following documentation, Warren has a low regard for Bible prophecy. Perhaps this helps explain why so many who once were anticipating the return of the Lord have become occupied with worldly ambitions. This is what Warren wrote. When the disciples wanted to talk about prophecy, Jesus quickly switched the conversation to evangelism. He wanted them to concentrate on their mission in the world. He said, in essence, the details of my return are none of your business. What is your business is the mission I have given to you. Focus on that. Isn't that an astounding statement? And his book was on the New York Times bestseller list, The Purpose-Driven Life. What Jesus was telling the disciples is that they could not know the day or the hour, but it never says that the details of his return are none of our business. Of course they are. Did Jesus hold the Jewish people accountable for not knowing the day of his visitation? He absolutely did. Absolutely. And I think he's going to hold the church accountable for not knowing either. Again, we won't know the exact day, but we know the seasons, and I believe we're in the seasons. You know, I was just read an article a couple days ago, Lithuania. When Lithuania wanted to become an independent state, separating from Russia, Russia said, fine, you can do it as long as you allow us to bring our goods through your country to the warm water seaport that we have. That's the only warm water seaport for Russia that doesn't freeze over. Lithuania just said to Russia, you could bring your goods through, but only 50% of them. And Russia used some fancy words that basically said, we're not at war yet, but look out. What do we hear? We hear wars and rumors of wars, right? Did you see how China flew through Japanese airspace, had to be escorted by a Japanese plane? They're testing the waters. They told Taiwan, look, if you declare your independence from us, we're coming in, and they've already done ground training to storm the shores of Taiwan. Wars and rumors of wars. These are the pre-labor pains, the Braxton Hicks contractions. We're seeing them all over the place. And I don't know, is there pestilence. Is there any pestilence out there? Oh, yeah, I guess there is. We need to know the days we're living in. Why? Because we know how to live, right? I want to know how to live. God's telling me, prepare for what's coming. You guys know my heart's desire is to teach you guys the Word of God from Genesis through Revelation. That's what I was called here to do. You know, when I first was teaching back in Calvary and Elk Grove, you can ask my wife, every teaching was on prophecy. When Pastor Phil said, oh, Joe, you want to teach? Sure, I'll teach on prophecy. Every single one. And then as the Lord started calling me to Wisconsin, the Lord said, you know, Joe, I have a lot of books that I put together. There's 66 of them. And maybe you should teach through them. Within them, there's prophecy, but you need to teach the whole counsel. And he really laid that upon my heart, and that's what I've been doing. And we're starting our third time through the scriptures next week. So pretty exciting. Look at verse 11 here in Revelation 22. He was unjust, let him be unjust still. He was filthy, let him be filthy still. He was righteous, let him be righteous still. He was holy, let him be holy still. Now, isn't that a strange verse? Right? I think the point that's being made is that in eternity, nothing's going to be changed. Your fate's been sealed. The day of salvation is over. And when the Lord returns at the end of the tribulation period, it's too late to repent.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.